You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, Chicago Bear fans, you asked for it, you got it. Justin Fields, come on down. Starting quarterback. Good luck. You look at the schedule, and they got a tough schedule coming up for the next 6 weeks. Then they get a little bit of a breather with the Lions, but I don't know what you expect out of Justin Fields. That line isn't any better. You've lost your most valuable weapon, at least for four. How long is...
4 to 5 weeks for David Montgomery.
Yeah. And he's going out there. You're facing teams like Tampa Bay and Green Bay, Baltimore. Don't complain. You asked for it. You got it. He gets roughed up. The Bears officially handing over the reins to Justin Fields. Earlier in the week, Matt Nagy, he said the job was Andy Dalton's. And then I don't know what happened from Monday till yesterday, but felt like Dalton was going to play. Most first-rounders don't sit anymore for an entire season, and maybe the Bears wanted to give Fields a little more time to ease into the job. But you know what happens with a rookie quarterback? They want to make plays. They're used to making plays the year before in college. They get to the pros, and they think, hey, I can try to throw myself out of this, or I can run my way out of this. It doesn't happen that way. It's rare. Kyler Murray, maybe. Lamar Jackson, maybe. But that's about it. And Justin Fields is behind a bad offensive line and no weapons. Other than that, have a nice weekend. He faces the Raiders. And the Raiders got a really good defensive front. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Charlie Steiner, he has been the Dodgers radio play-by-play voice on AM 570 for 17 seasons. Had a walk-off call last night against the Cardinals. He will join us coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. One of the more passionate baseball voices, Chris Mad Dog Russo, host of Mad Dog Unleashed on SiriusXM Radio, Channel 82. And he hosts High Heat on the MLB Network. Mad Dog joins us on the program. Doggy, good to talk to you. I want to go back to the preseason. I'm listening to you afternoons doing your radio show. And we were looking at the over-under for the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
And I thought it was 73, 74 and a half. How did we get from that to 107 for this team?
Great. Danny, I love you. Great to be on. You know how much I love you on this show. Yeah, no way would you have thought San Francisco would be at this level. They've had a lot of players who have made a contribution. Two stats that are interesting about the Giants. One, you know, they got 17 players who have hit five or more home runs. 17 guys have, that's a contribution. And number two, you know, they got 18 pinch hit home runs, which is an all-time record. So 18 times this year, Kapler put a guy in a pinch hit, and 18 times this year, the guy hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, so they have had a lot of resourcefulness. They got everybody's made a contribution. They've had a big year out of the shortstop, Crawford. They've had a big year out of the catcher. And they've had a lot of these pitchers, Alex Wood, Gausman, Logan Webb, who nobody ever heard of. They've had a lot of these guys go out there and have very good years on the mound. And as a result, they set the all-time Giant record with wins in a regular season with 107. And here's the key now in what I think, Dan, and I know Charlie will say the same thing when you have him on a little later, who I think is going to be the series of the ages. Can the Giants' regular season success with a bunch of guys that you and I couldn't pick out of a lineup before the year began, will those guys translate now into a short series? Because usually in a short series, you know, you take the team with the better starter and pitching and a better star, which the Dodgers have, and now the Giants got a bunch of guys, the Wilmer Floreses, Solanos, Duggar, guys you never heard of. Are they going to play as well as they did in a short series as they did in 162? And that is the key in this series. If you think they will, you got to like them. If you think they won't, take the Dodgers.
Would you have rather faced the Dodgers or the Cardinals if you're the Giants?
Well, I think that you're going to have to probably go through the Dodgers eventually. And the old argument is, it's, and you covered the NBA forever, it's easier to beat Jordan three times than to beat Jordan four times. So I would say the same thing here. If you had to play the Dodgers, if you're the Giants and you're a fan, beat them three times instead of four times. Now, I think it's a mistake with baseball, and they should change it. I think it's a negative for the Giants because with the best record, they should not be playing a team with the second best record in the second round of the playoffs in a divisional series. The Giants should be playing the Braves right now, yeah. And the Giants should be playing Milwaukee. But because the Dodgers are the wild card team, they look at the wild card status more significantly than they look at the win total. And as a result, the Dodgers are automatically the fourth seed, which I think is unfair to the Giants. I think they should change that. We'll see if they do down the road. But in the big picture, if you had to go through L.A., Danny, you'd probably rather have to beat them three times instead of four times.
And this is what we always look at the end result and then we react. And because it's a big market team in the Dodgers and they had the one game wild card, maybe baseball changes this. If I said it, hey, at the beginning of the year, hey, you guys got a problem with the one game playoff? Nobody probably would have a problem. Right. And I mentioned this. If Tampa and Toronto had a one game playoff, do you think there's a national outcry?
No.
The answer is no. It's just because the Dodgers and the Yankees, oh my God, they had to do a one game playoff.
Well, listen, the Dodgers also won 106 games, you know, the highest total in the history of the sport for a second place team, and they are the defending champs. And that's why, Danny, in my eyes, you got to give the Dodgers an incredible amount of credit. They could not lose that game last night.
Yeah.
They had an incredible amount of pressure on them. You know, it's 1-1 in the late innings. That is a game that they had to win. Defending champ, it would have been a disaster, it would have ruined their season. So the fact that they won that game showed you, we knew they had gumption anyway, but it reinforced the fact that they got a lot of toughness. And I guarantee you this, on Sixth Avenue, a sigh of relief. You think baseball wanted the Cardinals in the divisional round against the Giants? Not a chance. Because all, as you said, all we would have done is screamed how unfair it would have been for the Dodgers to win 106 games and in 2.5 hours, their season's over. And as it turns out, it was 4.5 hours, which is another story altogether. But, I mean, the fact is, you got the right matchup. And the Dodgers, I think you'd agree, showed a lot of gumption.
Yeah.
This is a very hard series to call. I mean, almost impossible who wins this series with the Giants. I think it's going to go in 5 games. Ninth inning, 2-2, next Thursday night in San Francisco. Take your pick.
If you're a Yankee fan, how's your morale?
I think if you're a Yankee fan, you're very down on Boone. You're very down on the GM. You're down on the fact that since 2009, you haven't been to a World Series. You hate the fact you lost the Red Sox. You also hate the fact that Tampa has now owned the Yankees. They won the division. They beat you last year. So this is a bad time now if you're a Yankee fan. You're sick of Joey Gallo. That's the last time you ever want to see him. There's no way you want Gary Sanchez on your team next year. Those are two out from that standpoint. You're very annoyed at Cole. You gave him $325 million to win this kind of game that you were supposed to win 2 nights ago when he laid an egg. Couldn't get more than 6 outs. So if you're a Yankee fan right now, you had to go to the wall last weekend against Tampa. The wall. The ninth inning of game 3 before you got one on an infield single, for crying out loud. So if you're a Yankee fan right now, you want heads to roll. Cole's head can't roll.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what they're going to do with Cashman. I think they're probably being Boone back. Gallo, they have a contract for next year. Gallo's awful. I mean, you would be the first. He's terrible. I can't believe, and I said it at the time when I made that trade. And obviously, we've seen enough of Gary Sanchez a lifetime. So Sanchez, Gallo have to go. We'll see what they do with Cashman, with Al, what he does with him. And then Cashman will decide what to do with Boone. It's not Boone's fault, but he's been there for 4 years and they haven't gotten to a World Series.
Would you rather be a Mets fan or a Yankee fan?
Wow. I guess because Cohen's got more money than you can, you know, he's got a ton of money and I think he'll go over the luxury tax. Plus, I think now he'll bring in Billy Beane or maybe the kid from Milwaukee if the Brewers allow them to talk to David Stearns as the GM. I guess, and that's a good question. It's not great either way. I guess I say the Mets, I guess.
Do you think baseball is looking at Astros, Dodgers, like, this is what we need.
Like, oh, absolutely, Danny.
Like, I don't know if there's another matchup that.
No, and absolutely.
Right?
You think they want Braves and the White Sox in the World Series? They'd never admit it. See, the NFL can get away with any World Super Bowl. If they gave you Jaguars and Cardinals, who, you know, we wouldn't care. The NBA needs – the star wins anyway, so you're okay with the NBA. You get the Lakers and you got Giannis. I mean, you're – baseball, they need the market size. And Dodgers in Houston, you'll be into it. I'll be into it. They won't like the scandal nonsense, But that series with all those Hall of Famers will have great juice. I don't know if they're going to get it, but that series would be great. And that's the one you could use. No question about it.
I don't want to paraphrase you. I want to make sure I'm accurate. But it felt like you're not as all in on the Astros cheating scandal.
Yes.
As most,
well,
right?
That's 100%. Here's what bothers me about the people saying the Astros championship was tarnished. We know cheating is deplorable. Give more the grief. In that series against the Yankees, in which Yankee fans go crazy, did you know the Yankees hit 158 in that series? And they hit 160 with men in scoring position. The Yankees couldn't hit themselves out of a paper bag in that game seven or that seven gamer against the Astros. That's number one. Number two, the Dodgers blew leads and a save in game two and lost game seven. When you lose two games at home in the World Series, which they did, one of which they blew a save in the ninth inning. I mean, really? You went 2-2 at home. The Astros were not cheating on the road. 2-2 at home in the World Series. That takes a little steam, in my eyes, as a fan. That takes a little steam of saying, you know, the Astros cheated their way to a championship. Well, I don't know. The Dodgers won the first game. They blew a game save, game two save. And then they had game seven with Kershaw and Darvish. And they lost 5-1. Can we take it easy? And the Yankees, and I know Cashman says this all the time, well, they make a big deal. The Astros took our championship. Brian, your team hit 150 in a seven-game series. At least acknowledge the fact that you couldn't hit. At least give me that before you sit there and tell me the Astros. But your big question is fun, Dan. Astros, Dodgers in 2 weeks, whether the commissioner gets into that, the fans will. And you and I both know that.
Will you have A-Rod on your show anytime soon?
Yeah, no. I can't get A-Rod in anyway. Can I ask somebody a question?
Yeah.
It's the top of the ninth inning.
I know.
It's 6-2 Red Sox, all right? 38,000 at Fenway. They beat the hated Yankees. And A-Rod is breaking down Gerrit Cole's 2022. You got to be serious now. I mean, that's not where we want to go with this. And then the 99, he said he'd be better in his sophomore year. A-Rod, he's been on the Yankees for a couple of years. Oh, my God. Listen, I know that is part of your family. And, you know, I mean, you got a lot. Listen, you're a Hall of Famer based on that in a lot of ways. That was not a big time broadcast. We got to be fair. You're a broadcaster.
Well, you know what you have to do, dog, is you have to put a third person in with A-Rod to protect him. And I think if he's your main guy, that's not what he does well.
He tries too hard.
Yes. Well, he's trying to be an analyst instead of just being an analyst. I just had Mike Lowell on. I don't know if you saw what he and Cliff Floyd did last night on the MLB
ESPN
Network.
Too?
No,
yeah.
MLB Network. They broke down Bogart's throw to home plate to get Aaron.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's excellent.
It was spectacular. But it was inside baseball, and it was just wonderful TV. And when you're in that role, you got to give me something. I mean, Tim McCarver is the one who started this, him and Tony Kubek. Like, they were really good at getting you inside, you know, between the lines and not talking this peripheral stuff where you're going, notice what's in front of you. And when A-Rod started talking about Gerrit Cole next season, I went, what did I miss? Because I just popped in on him talking about it. I go, did I miss something? And I realized I didn't, and I just thought, oh, my God, somebody's got to tell him.
You know, A-Rod in the middle of the game is telling us about the Yankees can't beat Tampa, and they got to spend like a man. Come on, A-Rod. I don't want to get into major market, mid-market. This is the playoffs. The Yankees and the Red Sox. Oh, listen, and it's not – and Vrizgersian's in a tricky spot, and I love Matty. I hate to even say it. He didn't have a great night either, let's be honest. Schwarber – did not go to the Red Sox from the Cubs. Yeah. He went there from the Nationals.
I
mean, come on. Anyway, who am I?
Look, you're baseball's lifeguard. You know,
that's it in a lot of ways. All right, who do you like in Giants Dodgers? Let me hear you take. Go ahead.
I don't like the Giants. Strike me as like the West Coast version of Tampa. Good point. You're not sure who they are, but they play baseball the right way. I'm going to go with experience with the Dodgers because, I you get in these moments where you get tight. Like Bellinger's done nothing all year long. And what did he do last night? Got on base three times and, he was there. He earned that walk in the ninth. Like those little things. And then, you have the game-winning home run from somebody who has been the NLCS MVP a couple years ago.
And he was 8 for 70. And by the way, can somebody explain to me how Mike Schilt starts the ninth inning with T.J. McFarlane, who was released by a team in June because he's worried about Gavin Lux? What? I mean, my goodness. Keep Gallegos in the game. I mean, what are you doing? Oh, my God. And then McFarlane, what's he doing? Then he takes him out when you want him to make sure that Bellinger can't steal second base, have the lefty on the mound. That was not a John McGraw moment or a Whitey Herzog moment in the ninth inning by Schilt. You got to be fair.
Good to talk to you, dog.
Danny, I love you, baby.
Keep it going. All right, buddy. That's Chris Mad Dog Russo. He's got High Heat on MLB Network. And
dude's the best, man.
He's got Mad Dog Unleashed every weekday afternoon. You're never quite sure what you're going to hear when you're listening to Mad Dog's radio show. Yesterday, I had the author of Mercury Rising about John Glenn going into outer space. I'm like, sure, why not? He also has a podcast, Digging Up the Past, latest episodes, looking back at single-season baseball teams not winning the World Series. We'll take a break. When we come back, the voice of the Dodgers, Charlie Steiner, had a wonderful call. Game winner last night. We'll talk to Chaz. He'll join us coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. We know about hardware, software. Do you know about bloatware? And I don't. I didn't. Bloatware is software that's preloaded on a device that you never ask for and could potentially be harmful. It slows down your device, puts your personal information at risk. If you find it on your device, be sure not to install it or try to uninstall it. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft affect our lives every single day because we put so much information out there. Get LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert. And they're the first to say no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. But keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year using promo code Patrick. The number is 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use that promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Reyes on 2-1. Taylor, fly ball to left and deep and gone! Chris Taylor, a walk-off home run. The Dodgers are walking off to San Francisco. They win the wild card, 3-1.
Charlie Steiner with the call on AM 570 LA Sports and the voice of the Dodgers, Charlie Steiner, joining us. How much sleep you get last night?
Not a lot.
Well,
it was one of those, you take it home and you try to say, all right, it's over now. Then try to tell your brain that it's over now. And then knowing I'm going to have to get up at the crack of dawn to spend some time with you today. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you judge your own call?
Yay and nay. It was when you have a call like that, the first priority as you're going through it is, oh, Lord, please don't screw it up. And then when you get to a concluding point where, all right, now I can shut up and lay out, then I know I've done pretty well. Aaron Boone was the first one where it was like, whoa. And I remember as he was circling the bases and I concluded the call, I clenched my fist under the desk and said, yeah, I think that has some legs. And last night, I suppose it was kind of the same. Again, I have been so lucky to to have had the Boone call, now the Taylor call, walk-off games ending in just high drama and complete elation. And, you know, you try to do it right, then lay out.
But also, I don't know how you can handicap this, because it's not like you go, this is a guy who's going to hit a walk-off home run. You have to be prepared for maybe it's a, you know, a base hit in the gap or something. But in your mind, do you have scenarios?
No.
Okay.
No. I think that's probably the worst thing you can do. I think you just have to be there in the moment. You know, in the Boone call, I got it back about 2 seconds before the crack of the bat and then the home run. We were coming out of a commercial break. First pitch, 11th inning, and I went yammering on. This one, you don't know. It was an improbable beginning to the inning with two out, nobody on. Bellinger, who hadn't hit a lick all year, walks. That changes dynamic. So if anything, if I'm thinking that, and I'm really not, what about an extra base hit? Bellinger can run. This could potentially be a lot of fun. But instead of this crackling line drive, and again, you don't have any time to think. It's just process quickly.
Also, when you're listening, you know, players talk about they can tell when something's going to be a home run. But I think it's probably even more essential when you're calling a game of just what you hear. Like the sound of the ball leaving the bat, how much do you read into that, knowing that, yes, this is a home run or this might be a home run?
It's really an audiovisual exercise. The crack of the bat. There are a lot of cracks of the bats that end up in 4-6-3 double plays. But also then the dreaded launch angle. It was pretty evident at the moment of impact it was going. And the last thing in the world you want to do in a moment like that, where a call like that is going to be around for a long time, is screw it up. So you want to be on top of it, but you don't want to oversell it for fear of, uh-oh. The last thing in the world a play-by-play guy wants in a big moment is an uh-oh.
Have you had an uh-oh?
Oh, I've had a career
of
uh-oh.
You just did.
I guess that's another one.
Because, you know, we were watching the Red Sox with Stanton hit the ball off the Green Monster. I think ESPN had the call as well, that everybody thought it was gone. Stanton thought it was gone. But, like, the camera framed it in a way. It was like, oh, my God, it's going to go out of the ballpark.
That was an uh-oh moment for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things as a play-by-play announcer you hope to God doesn't happen to you.
How do you sum up this Dodger team, the difference, or, you know, how formidable are they this year as opposed to last year?
They have actually gotten better down the stretch. They were certainly helped by a very weak schedule down the stretch. They were able to fatten up. They did exceptionally well on bad teams this year. They feasted on cupcakes. And they got themselves nice and fat, and down the stretch they were fortified. And again, this one game wild card thing, I think, is tremendous. I think ESPN had its highest ratings for a baseball game in a quarter century. I don't know what Turner is going to get from this, but these were two great games. Every moment was compelling. And yes, sometimes there may be a team that wins more than the other that happens to get into the wild card. I guess they can finagle the rules to some degree. But this was just great theater. This was so great for baseball. It was great for the industry. The other end of all this is the Dodgers and Giants. It's great.
I had John Smoltz on yesterday, and he said he doesn't like the one game. He said it's not fair to the team that wins more games. It should be the team that doesn't have as many wins has to beat that team twice, whereas the team with the most wins only has to win once. What do you think of that?
I think that's fair, but I think let's sit back and relish this moment and these two games and see what reaction is around the country. I suspect the sudden death games are so compelling. I mean, last night there were 350, 360 pitches thrown, and each pitch was more exciting than the next. That doesn't happen in a best of three series. It doesn't happen. Best of seven until the seventh game, it doesn't happen. But last night, pitch one to pitch 360 or whatever it was, every moment was compelling. So, yes, it may be unfair to some teams. I think the bigger picture is it's good for the game.
I'm with you on that. And that's what this is. This is an entertainment business. You're trying to attract audiences. You might say, well, that's not fair to the Dodgers. You want to be fair to your audience and say, tune in. We got excitement. And even like the NFL, if you score a touchdown in sudden death, then it's over. But if you kick a field goal, then I like it if, you know, hey, you had the whole game to win. Now it comes down to this, and you score a touchdown, you kick a field goal, then you win. I like that aspect of it, and I do think that the only reason why we're talking about it is because the Yankees and the Dodgers were in one-game playoffs.
Exactly. And again, there was such drama. And Dodger Stadium, I'm very lucky to have been out there for 17 years. It was Yankee Stadium before that. It is so loud and so dramatic and so visual. And each moment, each pitch built to yet another series of emotions until finally the bubble would burst. I don't know how many mixed metaphors I just threw in there. But the upshot of it was when it ended with such a resounding exclamation point to a thrilling game between two great teams. So I love Smoltz. Most of the time I agree with him. But in this case, I think I learned something over the past 48 hours, the way the Yankees and Red Sox finished up their season, two great competitors, and the Dodgers and the Cardinals, who go back to playing one another since the 1890s. This was just great Hollywood theater.
Charlie, great to talk to you again, and have fun this series coming up. I'm sure you will. And great job last night.
Thank you, Dan.
That's Charlie Steiner, play-by-play voice of the Dodgers on AM 570 LA Sports, and, of course, was a co-anchor at SportsCenter. I don't think we ever did a SportsCenter together.
Not one?
I don't think so, because Charlie did the 6 o'clock, and I was doing the 11 o'clock, and you usually didn't cross-pollinate.
You didn't like those guys?
you know, there's a little bit of a rivalry there, I think, because we called ourselves the Big Show. And other anchors, I don't know if Charlie cared, but there are other anchors that are like, oh, these guys are calling themselves the Big Show. We mocked ourselves during the 11 o'clock. We didn't know who was watching. And you know, Ed Sullivan would always say, we've got a really, really big show. And Letterman always talked about, oh, we got a big show. And then I remember Oberman said, let's just call it the Big Show. I go, I don't care. But we had no idea who was watching. But it wasn't like, hey, notice us. We're the Big Show. It was like, we have no idea. We hope you notice us because nobody would tell us anything. We had no idea what kind of popularity back then. Yeah, Paul.
Back in the day, your sports center, the 11 o'clock, used to sometimes play again 4 or 5 times overnight. Did you sometimes watch it back when you got home?
No.
Ever? Even at the early days?
No. Mm-mm. I had already watched it because I always watched the show. When the show was done, I got the tape and watched the show.
In your office?
Yeah.
Ooh. And that's... Almost one in the morning?
Well, it'd be midnight, we'd get done, and then you'd watch the show, and I'd speed through certain things. But, I did that. But I would not watch a rear. I would not watch. You did Sunday night, Monday morning, and I couldn't do it. Because I was watching to notice what I did wrong. Not go, boy, nailed that call. I never did that. Yeah, Todd.
Was there a post-meeting with producers, even briefly, to discuss what went right and wrong, or they just kind of let you go about your business and head out?
They would have a meeting, usually about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, where you just kind of went over if there were any problems. But for the most part, you wanted to get out of there. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you watch yourself in your movies? I feel like you would have trouble with that.
I'm more apt to do that than I am watching myself on Football Night in America or the Olympics or any of those kind of... It's weird because the movie stuff I know I'm not good at. But sports, I want to be great at. I can watch the movie and go, and I could have delivered that line. Like, there's something that still bothers me. The Longest Yard. When I'm a police officer and I arrest Sandler... And he's got, you know, his girlfriend's Bentley. And we shot it in a way that, you know, Sandler backs into a car, police car, and then takes off. But our reaction is not right because he didn't do that when we were there. And so he backs in, and then we're supposed to be reacting as he just backed into the police car, and I was totally off on it. So when I watch, then see, I watch for things like, not that we ad-libbed a lot of those lines when, you know, I give a high five to Sandler when he's in the car playing Paul Crewe. That wasn't in the script. I just thought, man, that's a funny line. And I just put my hand out, and Sandler said, yeah, we're going to leave that in. Yeah, see.
I remember being on the set of That's My Boy, and when we first got there and you were running through your first take of whatever it was, I remember thinking, like, holy crap, Dan's really acting. Like, whoa, wait, this is real. This is really a movie, and Dan's acting right now. He's actually playing a part. Yeah. This is crazy. Yeah. And it really hit me all that. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was like, whoa, he's not being Dan Patrick right now. He's being TV's Randall Morgan. This is unbelievable.
TV's Randall Morgan.
He's really acting.
I think Paulie's hugged me one time in my life. I think that might be.
That was after the screening of...
Just Go With It.
Go With It, yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I've said this before, I thought you made that scene work because it was kind of a semi-serious scene between Nicole Kidman and Jennifer Aniston. They're like battling each other. Mm-hmm. And you provided the comic relief of the scene. I was like, those are some good lines.
And then I watched that scene and I actually got down on all fours. And then I got down on my stomach because I was trying to judge Dave Matthews and if he actually picked up the coconut with his crotch. And I went down and I thought it was a funny visual that I was that serious about seeing who was going to win this Let's Get Coconutty, and they took that out. And then there's another one I just did, Hubie Halloween, where I'm the school principal. I introduce Sandler. He goes up there, and then the kids have a food fight and start throwing things. And then we shot a scene where I start picking up food and start throwing it at Sandler as well. Well, that didn't make the movie. And I thought it was funnier because Sandler just had an umbrella that he brought out and was fending off the food. And I thought, that's not that funny.
He's a human being.
I know, I did. He let me ad-lib that where they're yelling at him. And I finally go, let him speak. He's a human being. And then Sandler goes, no, Danny, I like it. Yes, he.
We just watched that the other night. And when you go on Apple TV, the picture that they have for where you can order the movie is you and Sandler. Standing next to each other. That's pretty cool.
Yes, Paul.
So I read an interview just yesterday. You know the great actor Gene Hackman? He retired in 2004, and they were asking about watching his movies. It was the 50th anniversary of his great movie, The French Connection. Mm-hmm. And he agreed to do an interview about it. And I asked him like about its legacy. He goes, well, you know, I've never seen it. And the reporter's like, what are you talking about? He goes, I saw it at a screening right about when they were finally editing the film. He goes, I didn't go to the premiere. He goes, I've never seen it in a movie theater. I've never seen it on TV. He goes, I've only seen the movie once and it wasn't even finished. And they asked him why. He goes, I don't know. I don't watch my own stuff. I do the work and then I let you watch it.
Yeah. I don't need to. But there are moments when it comes on. Like there's the scene in Grown Ups where I'm up on the slide and then I get pushed down the slide. I mean, that's similar to The French Connection.
Yeah.
You know, some of the serious movies, some of my serious roles. And then I just shot two scenes for two more Sandler movies coming up. It sounds pretty pompous when I don't know how many movies I've been in. Because, you know, my wife said, how many movies is that? I go, I don't know. And she goes, oh, you should find out. That's not a good answer. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you should know. Yeah, Paul.
Sandler just tweeted out yesterday that the basketball movie is wrapped and done. Is it Hustle? Hustler?
Yeah, Hustle.
Hustle. It's done.
Yeah. And then he's got the Sean Payton movie where Sean gets suspended by the commissioner and then coaches his son's grade school football team. And Kevin James plays Sean Payton. Yes, McClellan.
I say, I don't like to watch myself, but my daughters make me pull up the YouTube video of me breaking my glasses. They think that's the funniest thing they ever saw.
It's pretty good.
But isn't that sad? I'm like, can't you guys pull up something else? And they always go back to that. And they like when I fell off my chair, too. I don't know if the other dads have their kids Googling them.
But the glasses are top five moment, I think, in our show's history. Just because you were so proud you were going to play against the Harlem Globetrotters, and you were spinning the ball on your finger, and all of a sudden it hits your glasses break, and then you realize it's on camera. And then you went, oh, no. And you went up for your glasses, and they weren't there. And oh my God. And those were expensive glasses.
Odd for people.
Of course they were. And I just remember when I saw that and I went, oh my God. I said, you won't believe what McLovin just did. And they're like, what? I said, he just broke his glasses. What? And he came out sheepishly, came out of the confessional, and he was trying to see if he could get to the other side of the man cave without anybody mentioning it. And I went, oh boy. And then when you fell off your chair.
The whole chair fell backwards.
The chair fell backwards.
Reaching for air is fun.
But you,
trying to grab air to protect yourself.
I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings.
By the way, I'm still considering suing over the broken glasses. Because you made those walls so narrow that nobody could spin a ball in there.
I didn't tell
correctly.
You to spin a basketball in there. But, oh my God.
Also, the fact that I can't spin a basketball.
That's true. All right. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The new Peacock original, One of Us is Lying. Everyone at Bayview High has secrets to hide, based on the number one New York Times bestseller. The teen murder mystery is streaming now. Go to PeacockTV.com to sign up. This day in sports history, I'm looking forward to tonight, Rams-Seahawks. Rams are favored. Favored by, I think, two and a half.
2.5, I think.
Yeah. That caught my attention. Man, I don't know. You think it's a bounce back game. It's just I don't like to bet against Russell Wilson. I could bet against Seattle, but not Russell Wilson, because it feels like Seattle will make this close, and then, you know, is Russ able to pull some magic out? I guess I'll take the Rams just because it's a rebound game, and I think they're a better team. But going up there, never easy. So final results, poll question, McLovin.
Who's a more talented quarterback, Russell Wilson or Matthew Stafford? It's actually 50-50.
Okay. Brady Quinn, he will join us coming up tomorrow. He's done a great job. He's got a radio show, LeVar Arrington. And that's the show that precedes ours. And, of course, former Notre Dame quarterback. And he's working on Fox's noon kickoff. Yes.
It's Meat Friday.
Is that why we're having Brady Quinn?
Whoa.
You know what we're having tomorrow?
Beefcake?
Oh. Kielbasa.
Footlongs.
Why does this happen, you know, usually with like 5 minutes to go in the show?
Because if it happened at 9.05 a.m., we would lose it for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Can we hold out for another 4 minutes?
Yes. I'm going to take the over. I think that we'll be able to do. So Brady Quinn will join us on the program tomorrow. Let me see if there's anything else. This day in sports history, Paul?
It's pretty good. We do this every year. 1918, Georgia Tech's football team defeated Cumberland College 222-0. Now, we do this every year, this day in sports history. It's the biggest beatdown in college football history. Georgia Tech ran the ball for 922 yards, and Cumberland ran the ball for negative 42 yards. The backstory in the game, which I'd never heard, Cumberland College was a small school in Tennessee that had decided just before the season to discontinue their football program, but they had a contract to play the game against Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia Tech's baseball team played Cumberland College earlier that spring and lost 22-0. There are allegations that Cumberland College used professional baseball players as ringers to beat Georgia Tech. The head coach of Georgia Tech football, John Heisman, was so upset by this, and the athletic department was so upset by this, the rumor is that John Heisman decided to run up the score on Georgia Tech and aimed for 222 points once he got going, because it played off 22-0 in the baseball game. And it was not an accident that they rolled them 222-0.
Yeah, but how do you land on 220-0?
I think they were at like 215 and said, hey guys, I'm going to leave the starters in. No. That's just a rumor.
You have to do the math to get to 220. That would be kind of difficult. Wait, what do we need here? You guys need a safety. All right, let's go get a safety there. What else do you have?
That's it. That's a backstory on that game.
Wait.
I know.
Do you have anything else on this day in sports history?
I have, Barry Bonds hit his 73rd home run.
No.
Walter Payton related.
Oh!
I wasn't going to do it.
Why?
I was going to take the year off.
This is when he broke Jim Brown's rushing record. He had 154 yards against the Saints.
I was there that day.
Oh, with my dad?
No, with my uncle. My dad was completely dead at the time, unfortunately. Thanks for bringing that up.
Wow, he'd
been dead for 4 years.
Your dad would have liked it, though.
He sure would have loved that.
Yeah, he would have.
Later that day, the Cubs lost to the Padres in the playoffs. And my dad didn't see that either.
Wow.
Yeah, he missed both those.
Yeah. Damn. We might not make it to the end of the show. Yeah.
Kielbasa and Dead Dads.
And Dead Dads. For 500,
must
Alex.
Must be the end of the show.
We've cornered the market on those.
Yeah. Yes, McClellan.
If you bet on Cumberland back in 1916, at what point did you say, I might not win this one?
I don't know. Did they have point spreads back then?
That's a great question. Did the Black Sox cheat in 1919? They must have had sports betting.
Yeah, this game was in 1916. There was, not offshore betting or anything like that.
DraftKings didn't exist.
MGM.
Yeah, there's no app.
Yeah.
I got Georgia Tech -117.
I would have laid the points. I would have laid the points there. Josh in Texas. Hi, Josh. What's on your mind?
First time, long time, 20 years, long time. 6'4", 195. Mm-hmm. Limbs and a tummy. Also a fellow member of the Dead Dads Club, so I love the humor. I've been making that humor for, I think, all the 20 years I've been listening to you. And that 220-0, A&M fan here, we're playing Alabama. A little worried we may break that record this weekend. So, reason for my call, Dan, a fellow listener and a longtime friend of mine is getting married this weekend. I know you've given advice for best man speeches and groomsmen and all that. He's actually asked me to officiate the wedding. And I have put together a little bit of a DP-centric subtext in my message. And so I'd like to run a couple things I have by called Uncle Dan's Rules for Marital Success. Can I get your feedback on them?
I don't know if I have the time for that, Josh.
30 seconds.
Okay, here we go.
That's what she said. Mind your own height and weight, not theirs. Keep your passion bucket full for one another. Ask questions to listen to the other answer. Don't ask, answer, ask. Don't be afraid to go against the grain in life and one another or for one another in your relationship. And then lastly, sometimes things in your relationship may be not good, but remember that although this is your first time, your love will be for a long time.
All right. Or you could have, I love you, but I don't like you.
That's a good one.
As I've said.
I don't know.
No.
Wedding ceremony though?
Yeah, don't do that one. Don't do that one.
I don't like that one either.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Good luck. Yeah, I know I told Todd. I love you. I just don't like you.
Whatever.
That's what I learned. Look no further than the next big thinker, first-in-class technology, a leader in innovation and intelligence not yet seen from an SUV, 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLE. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Meet Friday. Thanks for joining us, Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. Well, one more item. We close out the show with rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. And back then, they had two goals in mind. Want to give you direct access to all the information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making those parts affordable by offering reliably low prices. They've done both. They've checked the boxes for both of those. Rockauto.com, correct parts for vehicles of all ages. That's where it's tricky. Sometimes you're looking for a part. You don't realize that you need to have a part for an older car, and it's not the same as a new car. Vehicle that turns off the engine at every stoplight or has the battery installed in the trunk and need a modern AGM battery like those at rockauto.com. And yes, the car battery is delivered right to your door. You're not wasting time, money, hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you right Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know you listened to the show. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com.